situated, have a watch with big numbers on it so I can see. But most of y'all know me. My name's Carolyn Hensley. And can everybody hear me? I think I talk loud enough. I told Ricky I didn't need one of those little things. Some of you have known me for a long, long time. But I want to talk to you today about a heart for missions. I told one of my soulmates this week on Wednesday night, she said, how are you doing? I said, well, I feel like a racehorse in the starting gate at the Kentucky Derby, and they're just starting to open the gate. So y'all just pray for me, and I've got some Kleenexes, but I've already cried through parts of this week, and hopefully I won't break down today. I know that you've watched a movie before, and where they start in the present, and then they have these flashbacks. Well, that's how my testimony is going to start today. As I was getting ready to write this outline, now some nights, and I know some of y'all are in this same place where you can't sleep at night. And so you finally get up out of the bed, get up, get my Bible, going to read, going to get calmed down. It's the time that God gets me when I'm still. And so I'd open the Bible, and of course, when you're talking about missions, you go to Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the Great Commission. And so I had my study Bible out, and I happened to turn the page. And there was where they have some information, and it gave me an answer to something that I had been struggling with. Now, God has given my family many opportunities for missions. And most of you know that I was a public and a private accountant, and that Jerry and I ran our own business until about 7 years ago in 2011. Now, Jerry had already retired, and we had a second home in the mountains, and we were just looking forward to retiring up there and taking it easy. But God had other plans. We put our house on the market. We felt like that we needed to be back here in Hardin. And we put our house on the market during a time of a real estate recession. And the real estate lady said, it'll take a miracle to sell this farm. Well, at the beginning of 2011, we closed on that house. Now, I was fixing to retire in April. And at that time, God laid something on our hearts. We knew that the church, Hardin Baptist, had changed its name to Venture, was fixing to leave out of the community. And I had never taken a job in the church that had anything at all to do with what I did for a living, as a profession. I never even counted money. I never did any of that. I didn't want any of it. I did that all day long, all week long, and I did not want to be involved in that part. My love was missions, children, and youth. So here is the dilemma that came up. For the past 7 years, working as treasurer here at the church, had administrative duties. And I've asked God many times, why, Lord? Why? I've always been involved in the missions portion. That night, as I read in my study Bible, God gave me the answer. And it was just like Him speaking to me. So I'm going to share this with you. The article said, the biblical basis for missions. God has a missionary heart. Now think on that. God has a missionary heart. And we see God's purpose and His heartbeat in three key elements in the gospel. And they're very simple. The first one is the Great Commission that we've already all in missions. You know that. Go ye therefore. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. You go, you make disciples of the nation, you win them, you baptize them, You teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. So that's the first element. The next element is the great commandment. Woo! He gave us a new commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and might and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if we love God, we'll want to obey Him, whatever He tells us and what He calls us out to do. Sometimes we don't realize why, but we're supposed to obey because we love Him. And if we love our neighbor, guess what? We're wanting him to have eternal life. We're wanting him to be saved. The third element was great compassion. Man, how powerful. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Our compassion for the lost should lead us to go to them, to tell them about Jesus, to preach the gospel, to disciple them, to teach leaders, and listen to this, plant New Testament churches among them. Plant New Testament churches among them. There, I kept reading that last statement. I'd never read that before. Lord, you needed a church planted in this community. Lord, that is missions. What are we going to serve out of? How do we come together to do the Lord's heartbeat for missions? So instead of saying, and that night, I sat there for a long time just going over and over that. Instead of saying, why, Lord, I said, I understand why now. I don't know if you know it, but Hardin Community Baptist Church started 7 years ago in this very month, February 2011. Can you imagine that? 7 years ago. So now I told you about flashbacks. We're going to go to a flashback in this testimony. When I was 14 years old, I got saved at a little church down on 321 Plainview Baptist Church. And there's some of y'all people here that went to church with me down there. A young girl growing up. Well, at 17, I met a handsome man from Hardin that had just got out of the Air Force. And his name was Jerry Hensley, if you've not already figured that one out. And he stole my heart. And we were married the next year. I was 18. We started our married life at Plainview. And one Sunday morning, right after we'd started, it was just like the Lord just hit me over. And the Holy Spirit just came over me. And I went forward, and I rededicated my life, and I made a commitment. I rededicated my life at that time. At 14, I didn't quite understand what that grace was about, what that marvelous grace that we've all experienced, and that's greater than all of our sins. And so I made a deep commitment that Sunday of service. Well, as we were leaving out of church that Sunday, and Jerry and I were sort of the last ones, the pastor was standing at the back there, and Jerry started talking to the pastor. Now, Jerry had gotten saved at Hardin during a vacation Bible school when he was young, but he never had been baptized. And so that day, the day I recommitted my life, he recommitted his and asked for baptism into church membership. You know, when you're married, they say you become one. But our lives were truly knitted as one when we began our service for the Lord together. You married couples know that. We started serving with youth and children, and I was hoping Nancy and Mitch would be here today, because the first kids that I remember, now I was young here, 18, 19 years old, the first kids I remember teaching were Nancy and Mitch's kids in Sunday school. Had Karen, she was a little bit younger. Then it was, primary, intermediate, junior, intermediate departments, a little bit different from what we have now. Well, I had started teaching GAs, and I had a little girl, and her name was Tammy Payne in my GAs. You all now know her as Tammy Hovis, Mark Hovis's wife, who later was a leader here of the Young Baptist Women, and she became a WMU director here. At that time, when she was a little GA, you never know when you're teaching what kind of seeds may be planted and how that child may go on to participate in missions. Well, for 7 years, Jerry and I had spiritual children. We didn't have children of our own, but we had a lot of spiritual children, those that we worked with. Well, missions was always a big part of our Christian life, teaching mission friends, GAs, ACT teams. Jerry taught RAs. And when I had a project to do, Jerry had a project to do. When Jerry had a project to do, I had a project to do. So we were involved like that. We had a little, she was Christy Hopkins down. Christy Limeburger, Joel Limeburger's wife, was in my GAs with Ginger and Amy. And at that time, we had recognition services. We worked on our mission projects and acting recognition services. And we were proud that the girls were interested in doing missions. Now, Amy, and she's going to kill me for this, but Amy reached the highest level that you could attain in acting. Now, this is not to boast as her mother and her acting leader, but just knowing the amount of dedication and the amount of hard work and how it was benefiting her for her life ahead and her achieving this. We had our first mission trip to West Virginia, a little town called Marlington, West Virginia. And Charles Engel, the pastor that came here a couple weeks ago, he was our pastor. And him and Millie went with us. Now, we went to this little church. It had no hot water there. Of course, we didn't have showers. We only had a hose pipe. Now, that hose pipe was used for everything, from filling up water for crock pots, how we had to heat our water. And we also had to shampoo and bathe. And I don't know if you've ever bathed with your clothes on, but you did a double duty. You get to bathe, and you also wash your clothes at the same time. So it worked out great. Well, Charles, we had to sleep in the church on pews, and Charles and Millie laid down mats behind the pulpit. And we weren't there for just a couple of days. We were there for a whole week. And you're hearing everybody that snores. You know, sometimes it's hard to get to sleep like that. And but we were so blessed. We were so blessed by the people there and the mission work, the Bible school, the revival that we did, any kind of construction, anything we did to help them. Okay. Shane, we took another mission trip to West Virginia. You'll appreciate this one. During a time when the young people were moving out, there were no jobs for them, and they were having to leave the state to find work. Well, I'm going to explain to you that I had a terrible fear of bridges. And I think it was due to the fact that I about drowned at Robinson Lake when I was 12 years old. The lifeguards even had to pull me out. This was not just something mild. This was something major. And I had this fear all ever since then about crossing bridges. In fact, we had taken our kids when they were young to Orlando, Florida, Disney World, and then we went over and wanted to see the Gulf. And so we were getting ready to leave. Well, we were supposed to cross the Tampa Bay Bridge. And I almost did everything. I think I did. I might have cried a little bit. I said, Jerry, please don't cross that bridge. Please don't cross that bridge. So we drove 50 miles out of the way to cross that bridge. Guess what? Next year, half that bridge collapsed. I was like, okay, now I know why we didn't cross that bridge. So here we are on this mission trip to West Virginia. Oh, my goodness. We've got to cross the New River Gorge. I don't know if y'all have ever been there. It's 3,030 feet long, 876 feet high, one of the highest in the world now. And Preacher Smith, he wasn't our pastor, but he was going with us then. And I was about to go into a panic attack. I didn't know how I was going to do this. So we stop. He stops everybody that's on the mission trip. We go walking down And I don't know how many steps there were, probably 1,000 steps to get down to the bottom of that gorge. I've never seen so many steps in my whole life. So we get down there, and Preacher Smith has me look up at the bridge, and then he does something. He has everybody to pray over me, so that I'll be able to get across this bridge. You know, if God calls you out to do something, if He's calling you out, He will help you to face your fears. He will strengthen you. A couple weeks ago, and the timing on this is just something. A couple weeks ago, Jerry and I are filling in with RAs, and we're studying Louisiana. And we're showing pictures, and there's the Lake Pontchartrain Bridge. Longest continuous bridge over a body of water in the world. So we crossed that bridge. It was in April. And I was able to tell those kids that I had crossed that bridge. Now, that might not be much to you, but it was a whole lot to me. Now, but I didn't tell them this part. Later that year, Hurricane Katrina came and washed part of that bridge out. So I don't know if there's something about me crossing bridges or what. But anyway, they keep falling down. So here we are in West Virginia. I've got to tell you, these things are just so dear to me. Y'all have had over 50 years of this. I'll try to compact it some. Okay, we're up there in West Virginia. We cross the bridge. We get in to minister. And the people there, now I've told you, a lot of the young people, there's not a whole lot of jobs there. Different meals and things have shut down. We went in, and they took our whole group. They did a hot dog meal for us. They were just so loving. And we had our youth there. They actually planned a snipe hunt. Now, some of y'all that don't know what that is, you just asked your parents. But let me tell you, you do not know dark until you have been in the woods of West Virginia with no moonlight. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And we had all these youth, and we were grabbing onto them, and they're like, don't know what's going on. They're trying to find a snipe, and we're like trying to get through this. But we had Bible school. We had revival meetings. When you go on a mission trip, you're blessed. You're blessed. You think you're giving? You're getting. Jerry and I were involved with a lot of missions with youth, with the Gaston Baptist Association. I didn't have this in my notes, but I want to tell you something about somebody that's kin to you, Preacher McClure. When we went on one to Rochester. I'm just going to insert this in. We went on to Rochester, New York, and we were going to stop in Hershey, Pennsylvania, because he was there. What's his first name, Danny? Huh? Tim McClure. Son's David. Okay. He sent a note back to us. He said, when you stop, will you please bring me as many sun drops as you can? Said, we cannot get them up here. And we stopped and met him at a hotel. They prayed for us for our continuous mission trip. We all prayed together. And we left him some cases of sun drops. Well, we went on another mission trip to Fort Wayne. And I want to tell you about the obstacles. It was obstacles from the very beginning. My mother had died in January of 1992. My daughter, Ginger, was getting married in September of 1992. There was a call to missions for this Gaston Baptist to take the youth. And I told Jerry, I said, Jerry, I feel like God is just impressing on my heart. We need to go on this mission trip. And he said, are you sure? I said, I don't know. I just feel like, well, we only had one youth that year that really wanted to go. We'd always cook a good many, but there was just one youth. And the more I thought about it, and I thought, okay, well, we're going to go. So Jerry, I, and this other lady, we took this girl, and she brought a friend. to, we're headed out to Fort Wayne. Now we know why we only had one youth. We were driving our van, and we get up there on Interstate 40 where there's all these concrete walls and things, and the bus for South Marietta Street Baptist Church breaks down right there in front of us. We're falling along behind them. Okay, you can't just take a regular wrecker. So we're there, and they've called for a wrecker out of Kingsport. We were on 40. So we had to take, we were the van that had the least number of people in them. They had to take all of those kids off of South Marietta Street and put them in our van. And I don't know if you've ever seen a phone booth where they try to cram all these people in there and see the record they can make. Well, that's what our van looked like. We were just up to the top. And we took them into Kingsport while they were hauling the bus in. Well, that was our first obstacle. We get in, and we get up there in, we had to stay in college dorms then. And Jerry and I had two daughters, so we hadn't been around a lot of boys, you know, other than just working RAs. And they put us on the boys' floor, the dorm of the boys' floor. And that was a wake-up call. Gary Gregg, associate pastor of Chapel Grove Baptist, was the pastor that went with us that year. And we set up a tent in downtown in Fort Wayne there in a park. Now, you go to different areas of the country and you realize that people accept you differently. Like Fort Wayne was not like West Virginia, let me tell you. Those people are a little bit more reserved. And when we came in with a tent, coming from the south, I don't know if they thought we were snake handlers or what, but they did not have a whole lot to do with us. And the police even come out and warned us that there'd been shootings and there'd been some things going on. And so one night during the tent revival, we had this car that drove by. We later found out it was a car that drove by and backfired. But it wasn't a backfire to us. It was gunshots, and we were ready to, like, hit the floor, and there was a lot of praying going on that night. And so we decided, okay, we did puppets. I'd worked a lot with puppets. We did puppet ministry there in that park, and that's the way we got the kids to respond. We went out to a mobile home park. It was on the Sunday before we actually began our work, and Frankie Hedrick would really appreciate this. The women were clowns. We dressed up in clowns because you had to get something that would bring these people and bring the kids out that you could relate to. And the men took basketballs, and they were congregating at a basketball goal in order to reach these people. Well, we learned that when you go on a mission trip, you've got to be flexible. You've got to readjust for the task at hand. You know what was one of the blessings that we received while we were there, and especially for Gary Gregg, his son, the pastor's son, got saved in that tent revival, one of those tent revivals that night. And so the last thing going home in downtown Cincinnati, Ohio, South Marietta Street, bus right in front of us, and guess what? Breaks down. Five lanes of traffic. Here we go. 5 o'clock. And so we're sitting there behind them, didn't know what we were going to have to do. And people were honking. They were honking the horns. And finally our kids, guess what they did? They made signs up that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." And so, you know, everybody was coming back. They were going to adapt to this. Honk if you love Jesus. So we finally got the bus going, and we got on our way and got back. There's one other mission trip that I got to tell you about that was like away. And that was Griffith, North Carolina, where we went with Hardin Baptist here. And we had youth that went down there. It was in the eastern part of the state when the state was flooded. Well, we divided up into teams, and Jerry and my team that we were working with were, and y'all may have heard this before, it's called the Smurf Team. We had a little lady, we were working on the exterior of her house. It had been flooded and they'd already got cleaned up, but this was the exterior. And this little lady got to pick what color she wanted her house. And she picked this blue color. It looked like a Smurf blue to us. Anyway, So we'd go out every day, be with this Smurf blue paint. And we had a little boy, and Jane Abernathy's not here today. They've had a death in their Bob's family, and I called her, and she's not doing well. But I told her I was going to be mentioning Kermit, little Kermit's name today. Because little Kermit, we didn't have professional ladders and stuff to get to where we needed to go, so you had to get them up on the roof the best way you could. But the boys would get up there, and little Kermit was very industrious, get up there and hang off of the soffit to paint that blue color. And that's how we got that painted. And every day we'd come in, we'd be covered with blue. Now, we had a guy that talked, and I can't remember when it was, Steve, he came and talked something about missions here in this past year. Well, our showers, our sleeping arrangements were set up in buck things in trailers, tractor trailers, and our showers were set up in tractor trailers. Okay. They're powered by generators. The lights that come on, the water that comes on, is powered by a generator. So I happened to be coming in from the Smurf team that day, shampooing and showering when the generators went down. I'm a little bit claustrophobic, I can tell you. I was about to go into another panic attack. So you had to just stay there and you pray and say, Lord, get, you know. So they finally got the power back on and got to go ahead and finish. But that's a memory you'll never forget, I'll tell you that. We took a group of youth to a Ridgecrest mission event. I remember the year. I might have to speed this up, y'all. I remember the year, and if I've got any Carolina fans in here, it was the year that Duke won the national championship when Christian Laettner made that fantastic shot. And I think it was 1991, but could be a little bit different. But anyway, 1991, we were sitting. Now, we'd gone to Ridgecrest, but Montreat College let us take the youth over there to use their gym, and some of the youth went in and shot basketball then. And we were sitting out there with the radio trying to find out what the score was. But one of the youth that participated with us that year that I remember so distinctly was Cotton David, and his mama Beth calls him Little David. Little David Martin went with us on that trip. And there was a song that was played. You know, when you go to Ridgecrest, there's worship times, there's session times, there's fellowship times. Well, this was during our worship time, and that song was The Heartbeat of Our Mission. And David, he loved that song so much while we were up there. And today when we close that service, I want to, we're going to play that song, and you'll understand why our youth loved it so. Okay, all of this, one other area I got to serve in here at Hardin was as a WMU director. And got to go to Ridgecrest with a big group of women. We took a lot, and there was a lot of bonding. You remember that little GA that I told you about back in Plainview, that little Tammy Payne, now Tammy Hovis? Well, we got to divide up to room for rooming, and Tammy Hovis and Lisa Howard and Mandy Ryan were rooming together, and they picked me. I always wondered why in the world they wanted somebody that was old enough to be their mama to be in the room with them. But you can talk to them about that sometime. And we were worshiping and listening to the missionaries' testimonies. And we'd go to different sessions. And the reason I wanted to bring this out was it's very important. I went into the session, and I was the only one out of our group that went in there. And what that lady said pricked my heart so. She said, we have people that go on a lot of mission trips. Just like I've described, I've been on a lot of mission trips. She said, but you know what? We have a mobile home park in our community, and we can't get a church to minister to it. I sit there, and it's like my heart was coming out of my body. And I said, oh, my. To think the Great Commission says start at home and then go out. Yes, I've done mission work at home, but what kind of priority do I put on it? And so we came back. We came back from that mission trip, and we started, as a director then, we started naming some of our groups. And one of our groups, one I participated in, was called the Soul Seekers. Sue, Ann, some of them here today, that we did a lot of going up and down these roads. Out of that group, we named the young women were called the Seed Sowers. We had a group, and you're going to hear about this, the prayer group was called the Prayer Warriors. And then we had Mission Activators. And I got a lady here today. I told her I was going to mention her name. She was Tanya Lunsford then, and she played on the Hardin women's softball team, along with Debbie Limeburger. Those Mott's girls were involved. Used to be Mott's girls in that. And Montana came to me. I was talking to her. And so we started a group called Angels in the Outfield. You say, that's a mission group? Yes, it was. It was that women's softball team, and they did mission projects. See, everybody's lifestyle is different. And it doesn't have to be. It's like a coming together. We had all these different groups, and they were meeting at different times. It wasn't just a one time. Then we'd come together and share what we'd been doing. But whenever we thought about retiring to the mountains, we got a church up there that we were going to, that we'd go to when we were up there, and that was Big Rock Baptist, Creek Baptist Church. And Tommy Armour, who Hardin Baptist had sent to seminary, had taken High Shoals, First Baptist and High Shoals. So we come in one week and we said, we want to go hear Tommy preach. And so we went up there, and there was he was just trying to get the church built up. And so we felt another tug on our hearts. And we started coming back and helping with the youth and the children there. Big Rock Creek, the church in the mountains, donated all of their Bible school material that year, and we brought it down on a truck and a trailer and brought it down to High Shoals and set up. And Ginger, my daughter in the mountains, living up there, she came with her family to help. Amy helped. And Carol, your daughter-in-law and your granddaughters came out. Dawn and Abby and Carrie, they gave up their time that week to come out there and work on that Bible school, because we were picking up. We had to pick the kids up with a truck and a trailer. There was no van up there in High Shoals, going around, picking those kids up, and brought them to that Bible school that year. And we had more kids than we had workers, let me tell you. We had borrowed from the other churches for the Bible school, but what were we going to do on Wednesday night? So Jerry and I would drive in on Wednesdays, and we would do work with the youth up there. And I had a couple young people I want to mention. One of them was Michael Morrison, Linda Morrison's son, and Clayton Martin, that was Cotton's brother, that come and helped us with those young people, those youth on Wednesday night. It's just hard to forget about the impact and how white the harvest is. It's out there, people. And sometimes it's hard to get enough workers together. Missions is important, and I'm going to have a second part here. It's talking about our legacy. Oh, me. Oh, my, we're going to have to do this. Y'all give me about 10 more minutes. When my granddaughter signed up to go to YWAM and train in Australia, she went 2 years. Her first trip was in Belgium and the next in Southeast Asia. She's right now married to a young man that's at Moody Bible Institute. He's studying to be, they're going to be church planters. They want to go back to Southeast Asia to plant churches there. And I thought, here, maybe there's a mission for legacy that's been passed down through grandmother and mother here to continue the mission work. And we've had that here at Hardin. When I think of the people that have given their lives to missions and have gone on and passed out heart for missions, I've got a couple examples today. Did you know that Hardin Baptist Church was first organized in this community in 1922 by J.J. Friday. And in 4 years, that will be 100 years ago. Now, you might say, well, this is Hardin Community Baptist Church. This is, well, we planted a new church here. Yes, it is. But we have a feeling of the legacy that's gone on that was like our mother church, a mother church for us. They passed on a legacy that we're continuing in this community. And in 1922, the church was established. In 1933, the women of the church got together, and they organized their first WMU organization by J.J.'s wife, which her name was Lula Friday, and she was the director. Now, that's Maxine Stillman's mother, okay? She was the WMU director, and we'll see how the heart for mission was passed on, because Maxine came on the mission scene, and she taught missions here. What about, do y'all remember the name Sunbeams? Little Sunbeams? I want to be a sunbeam for Jesus. Well, Maxine taught Sunbeams. She was also a WMU director here, and she was a part of that Prayer Warriors group. Those ladies were mostly retired, and they met in the mornings. And I'm going to tell you something. When we were first in negotiations with Venture to get this church back, that lady was a prayer warrior. She didn't have to know specifics. She just said, I'll pray. I will pray for you. She prayed for us the whole time that was going on. She couldn't be here today. I talked to her this morning. She's not feeling well. But she said, I'll be praying for you. Okay. I've got one thing about Maxine. The men in the brotherhood then love to sing. And so they invited Maxine to be a part of the brotherhood so she could play the piano for them. So I know at the Valentine's party we had Teresa and Valerie saying, we're women, we're not a part of the brotherhood. Yeah, you can be a part of the brotherhood. Maxine Stillman was a part of the brotherhood years ago. You can help the brotherhood out. Nan Clark, who was the granddaughter, we're talking about how these generations, not just Nan Clark, who was the granddaughter of Lula Friday, she was a WMU director here. She taught GAs, RAs, she's taught ACTing, she was a co-director at the Gaston Baptist Association for ACTing. So you see that heart of missions being passed on. Second example was in the late 40s. WMU was revived. Do y'all know what revive means? Come back, give it a spark. And that was by Mrs. Lex Moore, Mrs. Ruby Moore. And she became the WMU director. Now, if y'all don't know, that's Rachel Moore's, Smith's, mother. And Evelyn, Rachel's sister, was also a WMU director here. Now, I got to interview some of these people, which I loved. Rachel had been she's been a part of the women's missions in the past. She was in the YWAs. She was part of that prayer warrior group. She's a part of our reach out group now. And if y'all don't know what the reach out group does, look on that board out there in the hall, and it gives you just a little inkling of some of the things they do. And one of her fondest memories, she said, was Ridgecrest. Going to Ridgecrest and getting to hear the missionaries' testimonies. And here's where I've got another granddaughter. Rachel's granddaughter went on a Ukraine mission trip and worked in an orphanage over there in Ukraine. Look at that. The heart of missions being passed on and on and on. Okay, my last example, last but not least, of Virginia Probst, who worked here with mission friends and had a heart for missions, a big heart for missions. We have a quilt. I'm going to ask Anna Marie, and I'm going to ask Virginia Ray to come up here right now. I didn't know about this until this past week. And it's when God gives you a gold nugget, you know. He gives you a gold nugget. If y'all will hold this quilt up, this is the quilt. This is all the Probsts, Carol and them. This is their mother. Yep, that's the top. Come right here. All the things for the mission group. can see, this is, y'all can go and take that on out there. We can see that Joanne, this is Joanne Probst's mother. And Joanne worked with ACT teens, and one of her special memories, and I got this from your daughter, one of her special memories was going over to Maxine's house to have their meetings, sitting on a rug, and some of y'all might remember paper dolls, where we had paper dolls, and you put the clothes on them and everything, you can take them off, put them on. Well, they put the clothes of the Sunbeams on, of the GAs on, of the ACT teens on, as they were studying about these different groups. And you know that their daughters, Carla McSwain and Roxanne Davis, have worked from the very beginning of the start of Hardin Community Church with missions. I've had the pleasure of working over there in that children's department. They have been so faithful. They've worked with the GAs. Carla's worked with RAs. And the CIAs, now that is not the Central Intelligence Agency. That is Children in Action. And they are in action, I can tell you that. They've been here. I have seen their heart for missions. The things that the mission projects they've done, the things they've done handmade, prayer shawls, different things. These people, they're so blessed by having that heart of missions that's been passed on to them, and they're passing it on. Their daughters, Anna Marie's in the youth on mission, and Virginia Ray is in GAs, and they're working on badges, y'all. And we hope to have a recognition service. Nan's their GA leader right now. And so we see that heart of missions that's being passed on. We have some flowers here today. Went to the florist. And I said, I need three vases of flowers. I'm going to talk about three families. That's not all the families, y'all, but I zoned in on those three. So each one of these families is take a vase. When I went, they had incorporated this into one. And I said, wow, that's how we work. We're groups. We work together as one. We're unified for the cause of Christ to go out and do what we need to do. And it thrills my heart. Today, I'm going to challenge your heart. I'm going to challenge you to search your heart. Do we have a heart for missions? Are we leaving a legacy for others to follow? Maybe we need to listen to God to speak. I got some special instructions here. Ricky's going to play this song that we heard at Ridgecrest years ago, and then he's going to pause it. And at that time, I'm going to give some instructions. Right now, I just want you to listen to God as He plays this heartbeat of mission song. Vicki. in July.